Men at the life's billows you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
You ever burdened with the load of care?
Does this cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
So amid the conflict, whether great or small,
do not be discouraged, God is overall. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
The call to worship. Oh, you don't have to clap for me. I'm just going to give the call to worship here. But it is different to see Amy and Tom up here, as well as Denny and Dina. Glad you made it back. Glad you're feeling better.
And Charlie
too,
and Patty.
And Charlie's up there. Sharon and the drummer back there in the corner, Patty. It's great. Call to worship this morning says this. It comes from Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation.
Thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks, because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks, because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord hath done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord hath done for us.
Give thanks
with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks. Give thanks.
Announcements this morning. I think this is the last time that God Lead will be here. Glad you got to see snow. Did you make a snowball? Okay. Well, we were hoping it would be much colder than this before you left. You leave on Thursday, I hear. But we just want to pray for you this morning as you go back to Tanzania, close to the equator, and you never see snow, and you have never felt it so cold, but this is nothing. It gets a lot colder than this. I just want to pray for her before we get into the announcements this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you have given to us to spend time with God Lead. Thank you that she has been here for Joy Kids, and she is her presence makes a big difference. And I don't know who she's talked to or what kids' lives she's touched, but I know she has. We thank you for her time out at Bible Camp at Ingham Okoboji Bible Camp. She's been a counselor out there, and she's been at different places, and I think she even put on a wedding dress, if I remember right, because in her culture, there is no such thing as a wedding dress like we have here, and so it was kind of a fun thing for her to be able to do. She got a combine ride, and probably a lot of other things that I don't even know about, but we are grateful for the things she's been able to experience here, but most of all, that she's gotten to know people that love Jesus, and that she may see maybe America in a different way than sometimes what she hears what America is like, where she can then say, you know, that's not at all the way America is because she has been here. And so we just pray that you'd be with her, and is it your brother or uncle? Do you know which one? Uncle. Pray that you be with him as well as they do the ministry and as they carry on day by day where they live in Tanzania, which is on the other side of the world. So thank you for the privilege of what you're doing, Lord, in that part of the world as you are doing here in Milford and the surrounding area as well. We just pray these things for her. May you protect her, watch over her as she goes back. May her flights be comfortable, and may they go smooth and well, and may you just put her in the palm of your hands today and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, where are we at here then? We got Tuesday. If you are a lady here at Harbor of Joy, or if you know of someone that would appreciate getting out and being a part of a Bible study, there's one on Tuesday morning at 9:30. Here at the church. It is called You're Never Alone. You know, and that's a good Bible study to be a part of. How many ladies are a part of that? Raise your hand. You don't have to stand, but just raise your hand. Okay. Nice to see that some of you are a part of that. And it seems to be, my office is right next to where they meet, and, you know, sometimes I wonder if that sounds like a chicken coop. It's a lot of, just talking away in there and laughing and having a good time. There's a good time there. So I'm glad it's that way, you know. Wednesday is Joy Kids at 3:30 to 5, our ministry to the kids after school program that's here at the church. And I thought it was just a great little party that you had last Wednesday. You never know what to expect. And I've never seen the foyer in such a mess. But I knew that if Amy was in charge of it, you would never even know when you came today what it looked like. So thanks, Amy, for what you do with those kids from week to week. And you must wake up at night just thinking about different things. Try this, try that. That's really good. Then we have confirmation. We got six students in our confirmation from 5:20 to about 6:20 on Wednesdays. And then Lunch with a Bunch, we just started a Bible study this last Thursday, but it's still not too late to get into it. We meet again this Thursday at noon to 1 o'clock. Anyone can come to that. We're doing the Book of Esther. And it's just some the things that we see happening in Israel today and with the Hamas is nothing new. If you go back to the Book of Esther, it happened many, many centuries ago, the same kind of a thing. You know, we hear chanting now that's from Palestinians that say from the river to the sea, which means basically destroy all the Israelites. And that's just, I just don't know, I thought that would be today in America, that would be kind of like hate speech. And there's nothing that's really said about it. They just kind of let that be the chant, you know. And, you know, it's an eye-opener for, I think, a lot of us living here in the United States, too. Because it's happening all over the world, and I didn't realize there's that many Arabs and Muslims and Palestinians in different parts of the world. They're all there, and maybe they're around here too. I don't know. But Jesus is where we need to keep our focus on, and Jesus. Well, we'll find more about that out in the sermon here today, but we need him in our lives, and so do. So do the Palestinians, and so do Hamas, and Hezbollah, and all the other ones. Even in Iran, need Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that probably a little bit more here later on. I do want you to know that if you're interested in a membership here at Harbor of Joy, just kind of want you to know that offering a class, I'm not sure when we'll do that. We'll be probably on a Saturday, sometime after Thanksgiving. And just want those of you that are interested that will just meet on one Saturday, available to ask questions and tell you a little bit about the history of Harbor of Joy. And one thing I've never done before, I've never shown anybody around the church. So people who come and be members, they go like, I didn't know there was an upstairs. I go, yeah, there is. And so I promise I will take you around the church so you get to see what's actually here versus there's more than just my office and the sanctuary and the fellowship hall. So if you're interested in being a part of that, doesn't mean you're going to join or you're going to be a member, but we just want to give you that invitation, that time, if you'd like to come. Very informal time, but I'd be glad to meet with you and talk with you. And hopefully I can answer a lot of the questions, but if I can't, I'll find out and get back to you on them as well. We celebrate today 89 boxes for Operation Christmas Child. Woohoo! Yeah, 89 boxes. And Carol is, because we have a lot of this going on, but she'd probably say, well, there's a lot of other people as well, which there is, and we thank everyone for taking part in that. But Carol is leaving this Tuesday to go to that southern state of Florida. Anybody want to go with? All right, talk to Carol afterwards if you want to go with her. See if she's got room in her luggage to put you boys in there. Thanks for what you do, though, Carol. We appreciate it very much. And Vicki Anderson is a new grandma, the first time as a grandma, and she is here today. And so if you look at the last name of Jimmy and her daughter, Sydney, how would you pronounce that? If you look at the last name, how would you pronounce that? I'm going to tell you the real pronunciation of that last name because I didn't know it either. But if you got to think of Faribault, Minnesota. And if you look at that name, that will help you a little bit, but it's Tebow. That's how you pronounce the last name, Tebow. And I go like, I can say that at least. So they had their first child, little girl named Molly Louise Tebow. I thought the middle name should have been Zoom, because that's what she does when she's here. And then she zooms around seeing these people. So, anyway. But they didn't like that name. So, Steve Moore, I see you're here. How's your brother? Anything new?
He's kind of home zone. You know, he's off life support.
Wow.
Just breathing.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the main thing is he's really, it's come a long ways from where he was to be, was on Friday or Thursday? Or, I mean, he was, yeah, the last I heard that he was, they were going to unplug him, and he's waiting for the family to come earlier or later on this past week, and they did that, and he's still alive, and he's off. He's breathing on his own, which is amazing as well. So we just keep Jim, because he is on hospice care, and which means he doesn't have much time left either. But be with the family as they come together and spend time with him in his room, to be with him during this time, as well as with Steve, too. It's his brother. You know, it's one of those things you just never think of. Your brother would be in this kind of a situation. But it happens with, well, it's going to happen again and again, as we'll hear things about different people. It might even happen to me, who knows, along the way. So the other thing is, you can read the bulletin, what's left in there, not a whole lot, but I just want to have a word of prayer, and then the praise band that's right here will be back up. No, you won't be. I'm sorry, I didn't dismiss you. I'm glad you just sat down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks as we have sung together this morning. And we are kind of heading toward the Thanksgiving season of this month as well. And so may we be mindful, even as we come before your table this morning, that we have a lot to be thankful for because of Jesus, your only Son, who went to the cross and died for us and rose again on the third day. Lord, salvation comes through him and him only. And so we pray for those that cannot be here today. We pray for Steve's brother, Jim. And there may be others. We pray for Joe. Joe that's in Sioux Falls, too, recovering from that hunting accident. So, Lord, we pray for those that have no idea that we are praying for them. But we pray because you ask us to intercess for one another, and that we take before your throne of grace our hearts and those of others who need you in their lives. And so we thank you for everyone that is here this morning, those that are watching by Zoom as well, and that you would come and your Holy Spirit work in the hearts and lives of each and every one of us here this morning. May we leave differently than the way that we came today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The brief order of confession and forgiveness says this: In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take some time in just silence where you can spend time with the Lord, confess your sin to him, whatever he points out to you, whatever sin you are aware of in your life, as he will listen and he will forgive. And we'll just take some time to self-examine ourselves before we move on with the prayers before us. Lord, we thank you for the sounds of little ones. It's a joy to our lives and to our hearts. Even though it's probably not a thing that mom or dad like to put up with, but we've all been there. So thank you, Lord, that new life is here with us today. New life is always here because of Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for hearing our confessions. We want to draw closer to you, Lord, this morning. We want to see Jesus, not only in other people, but may he shine within our own lives and within our own hearts. So we just say, most merciful God, and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen. We have a real treat this morning as well. Curtis Jazz is going to sing, accompanied by Karen Dockin and my wife, Sharon. And so, do you want them to sing along with you, Curtis? Oh, you do? But my wife said no. So, okay. You can do what you want.
Let all things now live in a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator, triumphantly raised, who fashioned and made us, protected and saved us, who still guides us on to the end of our days. God's banners are o'er us, his light goes before us, a pillar of fire shining forth in the night. Till shadows have vanquished and darkness is vanquished, as forward we travel from light into light. His law he enforces, the stars in their courses, as sun in the orbit obediently shine. The hills and the mountains, the river and fountain, the deeps of the ocean proclaim him divine. We too should be voicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration. A song let us raise, till all things now living unite in thanksgiving to God in the highest. Hosanna and praise.
Thank you, ladies and Curtis, for that special song. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It's actually right after the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, just two verses, 11 and 12, says this. Jesus is speaking, and so these are his words. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's probably a portion of Scripture I would never choose to preach on, but here it is. May you use what you have laid on my heart this morning, and your word is more important than what I really have to say. But may you use it today in each of our hearts and our lives, including mine. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I don't know if this is going to be helpful or not, but it might be that these two verses reinforce what is said right before the last beatitude. And the last beatitude says this, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Now you got to hang on to that righteousness. That's why the persecution is taking place. Christians are different than the rest of the world. Righteous because of Christ. And it says that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, it doesn't make you better than anyone else. It should make you more humble than anyone else. Because God stresses and he places a lot of value on the humility of a person's heart when he or she comes before him. If you look at the very first king in the Old Testament, do you remember what his name was? Saul. Why did the people choose him? To be like, all the other nations around them had kings, but Israel did not. But they said, we need a king. And the Lord warned them that if you have a king, then all these other things are going to have to go along with it. And really the people were rejecting God when they said they wanted a king, because God was their king. It was God who provided for them out of Egypt in 10 different plagues. He opened the Red Sea for them to walk through. He fed them out in the wilderness. And, you know, for 40 years, they didn't have to buy shoes or clothes. It was all this. It never wore out. But here they rejected God. And they thought the king that they should have to be someone that would stand out from like all the other kings. And Saul was very tall. He was a head above everyone else, and they go like, hey, he would make a good king because he's kind of like an NBA star or something like that. I don't know, football player. But Saul failed miserably as a king. The message this morning is far from being hate speech. I don't want anyone to think that I'm blabbing hate here this morning. But I know that it will probably be interpreted as such by some others. Because we find in Luke chapter 6, verse 22, Luke writes something very similar to what is said here in Matthew. But only Luke uses the word hate, which is find that interesting. In Luke 6, verse 22, it says, blessed are you when men hate you. That's what Luke says. Jesus is speaking. He's being quoted. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and they insult you and they reject your name as evil because, what does Luke say? Because of the Son of Man, which is, we know that that's Jesus. And that's what Jesus is really talking about here in the Beatitude at the very end, and he adds these two verses. Remember, it says, you know, they will treat you just like they treated me. The me is Jesus. And Jesus recalls, like, you know, how were the prophets treated in the Old Testament? When they would speak God's word to them, did the people all go like, oh, we're going to listen to you, and oh, we're sorry, we're going to obey what God wants us to do? And you'll find in the Old Testament, even though they were Jews, God's chosen, they did not abide by his word. When we see these words, we also notice that Jesus tells us about how evil will affect our lives. There is evil in this world. We are Iowans, pretty nice people, pretty nice. But not everyone goes through life like we have here. There is going to be evil that will come in one way or another. But Jesus is talking about persecution and how people will treat you, but it's always because of your faith in Jesus. It's always tied to that. You can have a lot of bad things, a lot of evil that goes on in this world that has nothing to do with Jesus, because there's sin, and sin is rampant. But here Jesus is saying they're going to treat you this way because of me. Because of Jesus. And it's so true. And I've never understood this. Why? As soon as you start talking about Jesus Christ with someone, and it can be someone in Iowa, they get offended. And you're telling them the truth about Jesus making a difference in your life and how he has changed you. And people don't like it. They don't like to hear it. Even in churches, people don't like to hear it. Jesus gives us some gospel words as well, because he always does. He says, when this happens to you, be glad, rejoice. Harbor of Joy, good name. Rejoice. There should be lots of joy because great is your reward for believing and knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's where the reward is. That's where the promise is. We don't understand all of what that means. It just means, hey, if I've got Jesus in my life, God will take care of the rest. I got the promise of eternal life. I know that I'm going to be in heaven with him whenever he shall call, whatever may happen. Some of you have heard of people even in this community who have just dropped dead, mowing their yard, working as a mechanic, just gone. Some of you have attended their funerals. I don't understand it. And some of them are even younger than me. I don't get it. I don't say, well, you should have had a CPAP. You'd live longer. No? Our days are all numbered. No matter what we do, God has his plan, and we are just to be ready whenever that may be, because we don't know. So those of us who are trusting in Jesus Christ, Jesus tells us we have a great reward. We don't do what we do for a reward. It's just, it's who we are. We just do what we normally would do as a believer in Christ. So in our text today, there is a supernatural gift that is displayed in a person's life when you are being insulted, if you are being persecuted, if you're being lied about by others because of Jesus, who you believe in, and that's your faith in him. If it's because of Jesus, we're to rejoice. I don't do that. I don't go around saying, hey, I'm just so glad I got, people hate me. Yeah. I do what's the natural thing to do. And what's the natural thing to do? You get a little feisty. And you want to go and just punch them out. It's not what Jesus recommends, ever. You stand for your faith. There is a war that is going on that we're all aware of between Israel and Hamas. I just ask you this, is the war about Christianity? And you have to say no. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Is it driven by hate against one tribe against another tribe of people? Well, it's possible. Jews and Palestinians. I don't know the real history behind all of that, of why one hates the other one so much. And it's deep-seated hate. Is there a religious ideology of Islam that despises Jews and non-Muslims? To that one I say, yes, there is. And the kids are growing up in that. You know, we have Sunday school, or you've been brought up in Sunday school, and what was always the key thing that you remember in Sunday school, it was that you need to love one another. The golden rule, remember what the golden rule is? Treat others the way that you would want to be treated. If you do that, just that, life will go a lot better for you. So I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that hate and evil has raised its ugly head for all the world to see. And I don't understand how some can be for it and not see it for what it really is. The only answer that I can see that will be of any make any difference is that God has to change the hearts of people. If they would love as strongly as they hate one another, what a difference it would be. But we know that that's probably not going to happen. As I look at this, these two verses here, and it talks about persecution, I can't I don't know what it's like to be persecuted in the way that my friend Moses has been and what he has been through. I've talked about him before. I got a picture of him. Can we get a picture of him up here, Jeff? There he is. That was when we went to immigration court in September and in October. They told him he must come with a sport jacket and a tie on and, look like an American. He's from Nigeria. And I said, Moses, you look like an American. He just smiles. All those clothes are not his, but they were given to him by people in this church. The first time I mentioned him that we're going up to immigration court to see Moses and he needs this and that, a number of you responded. I mean, I didn't expect that either. So he's got my sport jacket, the tie and the shoes. You can't see his shoes there. But the shoes he has on and the tie comes from Bob Jensen. Bob only had one pair of shoes that he's never worn. And he just said, what size is Moses' feet? I go, I have no idea. But I know they're bigger than mine. I just say, maybe about 11. And that was the size that Bob had left, was a size 11. I asked Moses, how big are your feet? What size do you wear? He goes, 11s. So he's got Bob's shoes on. My brother-in-law's shirt and pants he's wearing. And so all those things were given to him after immigration court as well. But he goes to me, he says, they say, sport coat, a tie. What is this? I don't know what this is. I have no idea. He goes, I don't know how to even tie a tie. What do you do with a tie? I said, you wrap it around your head. No, I didn't say that. I said, I'll tie your tie and we'll slip it over your head and you'll have one, okay? And that's kind of what took place there. But that's Moses. We first met him, he was around 30 years old. He's about 38, 39. He doesn't know how old he is because they don't celebrate birthdays. So he doesn't know when he was born. It's not a big day when the birthday comes. So when we lived in Dickinson, North Dakota, and he showed up at the church there, we thought we'd surprise him with his first birthday party. So there he is. He's probably 30, 31 at that time. We took over an angel food cake, got some birthday cards together with some little gift cards in it, and we gave it to him, and he was kind of going like, what's this? What's this? This is a lot of fun. They go like, can you believe this? Somebody that's never done this before, and we grew up with this. And so he opens up the card and he's going like, oh, the love of people that would think of him in this way. He got to the angel food cake. He's never had angel food cake in his life. He tasted it and he goes, this is good. do angels make it? I go, no. Sharon made it. She's an angel. And he's a good cook, and so he would make a lot of meals. But then he'd have friends of his that came over from Africa, who would come to his room, his apartment, and they would eat his food because he's a good cook. But he knew that. So when he got the angel food cake, he says, "I'm putting this out into my car, so that no one can see it, because they'll all eat it." So he kept that. He kept the angel food cake for himself. So when we went up to see him for immigration court, Sharon made him an angel food cake, which his eyes just lit up and he smiled. He's just a wonderful guy. He was to be at immigration court for a number of years, but they kept canceling it. And so this is the first time he came to America, probably in 2014. He didn't get to Dickinson until 2015. And here he's at court in September of 2024. You do the math. They kept canceling and redoing it. But it's a miracle for him to be from Nigeria and to make it from Brazil up through Mexico, Central America, Mexico to Tijuana, and have nothing. He was robbed in the jungles of Guatemala or somewhere in there. And he thought that would be the end of it. That's how he's going to die. He said they took him off the bus. They stopped the bus. They took him off the bus into the jungle, asked everybody to turn over their valuables. All he had with him was his papers saying where he was from and who he was. They took that from him too. And so when he got to Tijuana, there was two lines in immigration. One line is if you have papers. The other line, if you don't have papers, then you're seeking asylum. He got in that line. And he was held in detention for a month or so. There had been people there in detention that had been 8 months to over a year. And they saw him that he was praying. And they go, "What are you doing, dude?" He goes, "Oh, I pray every day that the Lord will lead me and get me out of here." And they just laughed at him. They said, "You won't get out of here until 8 months at the earliest, and it might be over a year before you get out of here." But one day, in 1 month, somebody came and told him, "You're free. You're free to go." Where do you go when you come from Nigeria to America and they tell you're free to go? Where do you go? I don't know how he found out, but he had to go to Philadelphia. And so he got on a bus after begging, sitting and begging for enough money for people to give to him so he could afford a ticket. And when he got into the bus, he never got off the bus. And the people, the driver would stop for them to get food or whatever. And they'd come back and they'd go, "Hey, his name is really Abdul Karim Mohammed." That was his birth name. And so when they came on, they would say, "Abdul, aren't you going to get something to eat or whatever?" And he goes, "I have no money," he said, "but I don't need any money because I'm a free man. I'm free. That's all I need. I'm free." And so these other people gave him food to eat, and he was taken care of. So he gets to Philadelphia, there for about 3 days. That guy sends him to Charlotte, North Carolina, or is it South? One of the Carolinas. He was there, and the guy there that he went to see wanted him to go to the local grocery store and wire money to these addresses that he was given, and he just said, "This isn't right." He doesn't know these people, for one thing, and he didn't want to be involved in something bad. So this guy got fed up with him and said, "I need to get rid of you." And so he knew if somebody lived up in North Dakota, Dickinson, North Dakota, and he bought him a plane ticket to go to Bismarck. The other Africans picked him up in Bismarck, took him to Dickinson, and he ended up, over time, sitting on the sidewalk in front of the church because he had heard that North Dakota is the most racist place in America. And so he thought, "Well, they will not like me if I go to church, so I'll sit on the sidewalk until somebody invites me in." And so somebody did invite him in eventually after 2 weeks. And he saw me baptize a baby on a Saturday morning. He came to the church, and he goes, "What's this?" I said, "I'm baptizing a baby." He goes, "Can I be baptized?" I go, "Yeah, you can be baptized." And so that Sunday, baptized him in September of 2015. And that's when I changed his name. I said, "I will not call you Mohammed anymore, or Abdul Karim Mohammed. I call you Moses." I said, "What do you think of that?" He goes, "That's a good name. I like Moses." So he knew that anyone who'd call him Moses was from the church, because nobody else knew who he was. But when they'd see him stocking shelves at a grocery store, he loved to work, he wanted to work. He did everything he could to better himself. So long story short, I just wanted you to meet, this is what the guy looks like. But he has suffered persecution in his country. He lived in Bama. If you wanted to go onto the internet, you'd have to look at an article that would talk about the Boko Haram that came to his town, his village. It's probably, to us, it would be a city. Well, to me, it's a city. Bama, northern Nigeria. Because you'd find something out of a story, maybe some pictures, where the Boko Haram came in and burnt his house, shot his mother. His mom died in his, well, we shouldn't say she died in his arms, but he went in the backyard and found her, and he just cradled her. She was already dead. He thought the police were coming to save them, and the police started shooting at him, and he goes, you know, it's the Boko Haram. They dress up like policemen. You never know who they are. And so his dad said, run. And so he and his brother, they ran. His dad was shot. He doesn't know where or how bad. His brother was shot. He kept running. And he found his way in Cameroon, Africa, to get on a boat. That's how he went to Brazil. And he came up through Tijuana, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Carolinas, and up to North Dakota. I go, Moses, it's a miracle you're here. But he said this, I do not want to be a Muslim anymore. If this is the way they treat their people, I do not want to be a part of this belief, this religion. I want to become a Christian. And so he was serious about that. So anyway, you can take him off the slide there. Jeff, thanks for putting that on. So when we talk about persecution, I just want you to, there's a man who's gone through it. And he did not look, he did not have a tie on or a suit jacket at that time. He was a farmer. But he knows what persecution is. And to this day, he still does not know if his family is alive. He has no idea. He's got two younger sisters, 12 years old and 14, that came up missing. They left the house, they never came back, and he went out looking for them. And the police didn't know anything about them. They said they've never seen them, they don't know what. And so he believes that the Boko Haram kidnapped them, and he's never seen them since. So these things happen today around the world. If you're a believer in Christ, if you're interested in Jesus, this can happen to you. Jesus understands this, and he points out of saying, like, you know, the way they treated me and the prophets of old, that's how they're going to treat you too. Me too. Be mindful of that. But great is your reward in heaven. We hold on to that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a love that you give to anyone who comes to you. The most hateful person can be given a new heart. And we got the Apostle Paul as one whom we can go to and point to say, he hated the Christians in his day. He persecuted them. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death and he was holding his clothes and he gave his approval of his martyrdom. But later on, you touched his life and you changed his heart. And he became one of the greatest believers and missionaries and wrote probably half of the New Testament, if not more. So, Lord, you can change people, even here in Milford, Iowa. This morning, those that are in the pews, those that are listening by Zoom, you can change hearts and lives by letting you come in and have control of our desires and our hearts and everything that's who we are. Where it doesn't become about us anymore, it becomes more about you, who you are. So Lord, You know the heart of everyone here today, and we're going to be coming to the table, your table that you invite us to. It's not just to receive a wafer and a little something in a cup, but it's really more about what's in our hearts and our lives because of you. We're doing what you have asked us to do by faith. So thank you for this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, he was in front of he's with his disciples. And he said a couple of things to them that evening. This is right before he's going to be crucified. But he took the bread, unleavened bread, and he broke it. And he said to them, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup. And he said, "Drink all of it. This is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it, all of it, in remembrance of me." Christians have been doing this for centuries. The time that we come and receive his gifts that he wants to give to us to remind us what he did for us. If you have not been to a communion service here at Harbor of Joy, just want you to know that there'll be two stations. First station is here. You come, walk up here, you'll be served. And then you can go back and sit down where you're seated. The other station is up front. If you want to come up front, you'll be served up at the railing if you want to kneel and just spend time with the Lord up at the railing. You sure can do that too. Spend as much time as you want there. And then you can go back and sit down where you're sitting. If you do not want to have wine, you just hold your hand like this, and you'll be served grape juice. We do have gluten-free wafers. They're in a plastic little pouch. You'll see them up there. If that's something that pertains to you, take one of those little packets. No one else is able to touch them. So by that, I'll ask the servers to come, and we will wait for the ushers to usher you to come forward.
reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see
Okay. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Majesty, worship his majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own. His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Thanks be to God.